I'm very grateful to be with you this evening. I'm fearful to speak anything because it may distract your attention from the wonderful discourse of His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj. Should we just have kirtan? Because it's becoming quite late. How late can you stay? Maharaj was speaking about the power of bhakti, the supreme power of love. And this is illustrated so beautifully in the story of Ambarish Maharaj. Niranjan Maharaj was explaining so beautifully from the purports or commentaries of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur the discussion between Durvasa Muni and the Supreme Lord Vishnu. How, because Ambarish Maharaj had surrendered his body, mind, words, and life for the pleasure of Krishna and wanted absolutely nothing in return, the Lord offered him the very most precious thing of his life, his heart. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on several occasions, when describing his devotees, he proclaimed to the world, "I am a prisoner of the love within his heart. I am prisoner within his heart." The Almighty, Supreme, All-Powerful Godhead is telling that he has no power to escape from the heart of his devotee. Now, in the various religions of the world, we hear about the mighty power of God. Yes, how he can create, how he can destroy, how he can reward, how he can punish. In the Vedic scriptures, we find Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is only an expansion, a part of a part of a part of Krishna. Mahavishnu, by his mere exhalation, is creating unlimited universes, and by simply inhaling for a moment, he destroys the entire cosmic manifestation. Now, even the greatest weapon of mass destruction, how much of the universal creation can it destroy? Make it disappear, absolutely. But for Vishnu, that's all. All the creation is destroyed. That is the power of the Lord. But he is telling that I am a prisoner. I am helplessly captive within the heart of my devotee. And what is the rope that keeps the Lord bound in this way? Is the rope of the devotee's love. Durvasa Muni, powerful mystic, he would travel. What was it, 60,000 disciples? He was a very popular person. And he had such control over his mind and senses that he had developed such powers. Sri Kishore Kishori Dev Ki Jai. Simply by taking one of the hairs of his head and throwing it to the ground, he created a fiery demon that had the power to consume the world. Now, many of you cut your hair. What happens? What can you do with one of your hairs? What can you do even to your littlest infant child with one of your hairs? The most possible damage you could do with one of your hairs is maybe make it laugh by scraping it slightly. But Durvasa Muni, one hair. Powerful, powerful demon. And Ambarish, he never tried to do any of these things. He was simple, honest, humble, and forgiving. That's all. Durvasa Muni was a celibate monk who never even considered sense gratification. And Ambarish had wife and children. An occupation. Durvasa Muni just lived in the jungles and the forests as an ascetic, and Ambarish lived in a beautiful palace. And when this fiery demon came upon Ambarish Maharaj, he was not the slightest bit disturbed. Because of the quality of his love, he had complete faith. If Krishna wants to protect me, there's nothing anyone can do to harm me. And if Krishna wants to destroy me, then that's the goal of my life. My goal of life is whatever Krishna wants. So there was no fear. Fear is born of egoistic desire. If we really have faith in God, then we become fearless. That is the substance of the song that Niranjan Swami Maharaj was singing. Bhajahure mana Sri Nandanandana Abhaya Charanaravindare. My dear mind, just worship the lotus feet of Nanda Maharaj's son, Sri Krishna. Because one who takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet is fearless. Fearless because we have faith that whatever Krishna wants, that's what I want. The only fear of a devotee is to forget Krishna. So yes, Ambarish Maharaj just prayed, Krishna, whatever you desire, I'm yours. And because he surrendered with such humble love, Krishna sent his Sudarshan Chakra, destroyed the demon, and then it went after Durvasa Muni. And then Durvasa Muni really manifested his powers. Now, we praise the Olympic champions who can run very fast, or who could jump, yes? High jump or long jump or whatever they do. But Durvasa Muni, he jumped to Swargaloka. If he was on the Chicago Bulls, can you imagine how many championships they would? He jumped to Swargaloka. And he, Indra, save me. Indra said, not me. Sudarshan Chakra, I cannot interfere with this. Then he jumped to Brahmaloka. That's the highest realm of the material existence. One jump. Then he jumped to Lord Shiva's loka. Brahma said, Vishnu's weapon, I cannot help you. And Shiva, who is, Durvasa Muni is an expansion of Shiva. Shiva's given him all his powers. Shiva says, I cannot help you, only Vishnu. Then he jumped to Vaikuntha, to the spiritual world of the Lord. And that's when this wonderful conversation took place. So what a powerful personality Durvasa Muni was. He was angry. He was angry because Ambarish Maharaj very slightly was perceived to have slighted him. That's all. Durvasa Muni's interpretation, which was a misinterpretation, was that Ambarish Maharaj did not give him proper honor and respect. And therefore he became outraged with the desire to kill him, to destroy him. And he's a yogi. And Ambarish Maharaj, for a whole year, standing there fasting, praying to Vishnu to forgive Durvasa Muni, performing austerities for the welfare of the person who tried to murder him, who blasphemed him. That is Ambarish. Because of his love for Krishna, he has this quality. Even to his own enemy. One who has this simplicity, this humility, this love, this forgiveness toward others. Krishna, by his own sweet free will, accepts the position of prisoner of that devotee's heart. Yes, Durvasa Muni is such a powerful, powerful personality that even kings like Yudhisthira feared him. But Ambarish Maharaj, his power was infinitely greater. What was his power? His devotion. When you surrender to Krishna, you access the unlimited power of Krishna. Bhaktiyamam abhijanati yavanjastasmitatvata. Krishna tells there is only one way to know me, and that is through bhakti. And this is the gift, the treasure that Prabhupada has come to bring the world. Not just devotion. Prabhupada has come to give the gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is unconditional, uninterrupted, unmotivated devotional service. Because that is love. Srila Prabhupada would often say that there are many religions in this world who are teaching religious principles, piety, morality, ethics, humanitarianism. There are many religions in this world that are teaching devotion to God. There are many philanthropic organizations that are also teaching how to be good to others. He said the special feature of the Krishna consciousness movement, which is Lord Chaitanya's movement, is teaching the world unmotivated, uninterrupted, unconditional devotional service. Savaipung shang paro dharmo yato bhaktirat hokshaje ahoitakiya pratihata yayatma supraseedati. Because it is only unconditional loving service to the Lord that can completely satisfy the self. Because that is our eternal essence. That is our nature. Everything else is artificial to the pure soul. And for those who are in a conditioned state of consciousness, this state seems so very, very difficult and far away. But as Maharaj was explaining in this beautiful song, Durlabha Manava Janama Satsange, this human life is very rare. But if we just associate with people who have that unconditional, unmotivated desire to serve the Lord, are those who are striving to follow in the footsteps of those personalities, then by the Lord's mercy, and only by the Lord's mercy, coming through the mercy of the Vaishnavas, it becomes our property. You cannot attain pure devotional service. It's something that can only be given to you by the causeless mercy of the Lord. But we have to want it. And we have to just do sincerely what the great souls are telling us to do, just to attract that mercy of the Lord upon us. Prabhupada promised. Just to follow the simple teachings he gave us sincerely. But to understand his teachings, it's to chant Hare Krishna, to be a humble servant of the Vaishnavas, to try to share the message of Krishna consciousness with others, to follow these moral principles. It's very simple. If we do it sincerely, wholeheartedly, ragadvesha vimuktaishtu vishayanindriyaischaran atmavashara vidheyatma prasadam arigachchati. If we just follow these principles, we attract the complete mercy of the Lord. And through that mercy, we become free of all the attractions and aversions of Maya. And unconditional, unmotivated love awakens in our heart. And although a devotee like Ambarish Maharaj or Haridas Thakur, they are so humble, so gentle, so simple. The Almighty God is conquered by that love. Therefore, there is no greater strength than this. In the world of illusion, people who can fight with their fists, or fight with their bombs, or fight with their intelligence, they are considered powerful people. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us, who is the most powerful person? Trinadapi sunichena taror ibasihishnana. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One who is humble like the grass, tolerant like the tree, eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return, because that person alone can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. That is real power in the eyes of God. So we thank you very much, Niranjan Swami Maharaj, for such an eloquent, soul-stirring discourse on the essence of bhakti. Hare Krishna. Shyam Sundar Prabhu, would you like to speak something, please? Just your glance speaks millions and millions of volumes. So with your permission, we will have kirtan. Will you please dance? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.